Hey guys, welcome back to the All In Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, as always, Mike Badzik, joined by my dear friend, as always, Eli Cooper. What is up, Eli?
Not much, man. I'll tell you what, though. I'm really, really excited.
Yes.
And it's basketball is on the horizon. It's looking like we might get basketball back within the next 30 days. And I am excited, and we're going to talk about that with you guys here today.
Yeah, definitely. This is probably the most excited I've been, right? There hasn't been as much traction regarding basketball coming back as there has been in the last couple of days. So we're going to get into pretty much all of the different scenarios that people are talking about, different ways that the NBA is planning on coming back with different playoff formats. But first, we kind of want to talk about Damian Lillard, one of the players who... So some of these formats could benefit the Blazers and some could hurt the Blazers. He did an interview with Chris Haynes of Yahoo, and his quote was, "If we come back and they're just like adding a few games to finish the season, throwing us out there for meaningless games, we don't have a true opportunity to get in the playoffs, I'll go, I'll be with my team, but I'm not participating. If we come back and don't have an opportunity to make the playoffs, I'll show up, I'll be at practice, I'm going to do all that. I'm going to be on the bench during the games, though." He did mention if they come back and say it's something like a tournament playing style, and you have the 7 and 12, those seeds in between there playing to get into the playoffs, he would be really interested in that. He called that perfect. And he did mention that he thinks that the Blazers would actually have a really good chance in that type of format. He compared how they matched up with the Lakers early in the year. They beat them before, and he played really well. He said he didn't want to knock Memphis out of that spot because he thought they were deserving as well from the regular season that they had, but he thought they matched up a little bit better. So, Eli, I guess first maybe, what do you think about his stance on that? Do you agree with him? If you were in his situation and the NBA said, come down here and play 6 games to finish the season, and then you're pretty much done, would you go and want to play in those games? Would you go at all? And then the second part of it, if they do figure out a way to involve the Blazers, do you think they have a real chance like he suggested?
Well, I'll answer the first part. If they're coming down playing meaningless games, I 100% feel him on that. Because, like, why risk? Because there's going to be a little bit of risk. Like, you're going to try to control it as much, but, like, at the end of the day, there's going to be a risk of someone catching this virus. So why put myself at risk in a bunch of meaningless games? You might as well just leave me home at that point. Now, sure. If they're getting like 5 to 6 games and the Blazers, you know, have a shot, right, or like those 5 to 6 games will matter as far as like playoff seeding, then okay, because they're 3 games back. I mean, it would be hard for them to get in. They need some help, like with the Grizzlies losing, but like you have a chance. Mm-hmm. If I have a chance to get in the playoffs, I will play. If not, don't even bother bringing me back. Like, that would be a waste of time. So, I 100% feel him on that. When it comes to the potential, you know, play-in games, things like that, I don't know if they have a shot to beat the Blazers, depending on, like, how they... That's really going to depend on the format, which we're going to get to. But, like, if they got, like, one... Or two, like a three game series, whatever they like do, anything like 3 games or less, the Blazers can beat anybody, and not because they're like super talented, you know what I mean, or like really that good, but like they have 2 dynamic scorers who can get hot at like outrageously high, especially Dame, who can, right. If you're talking about like a 1 game play, you know, play in or a 3 game series where they just need to get hot for 2 games. You know, 1 or 2 games. Yeah, the Blazers would be scary in that situation because you know Damian Lillard can explode on anybody. So would they have a chance? Absolutely. And would they be a little bit scary? Yeah, probably scarier than Memphis in that kind of a scenario because they have Damian Lillard, and then you also combine that with CJ McCollum. You know, I believe Nurkic is back. They got Whiteside.
Yeah, he'll be back. So Collins will be back.
Yeah,
too.
So you know they have some formidable pieces. They obviously they struggle. Oh, and we can't forget Melo, who was playing well you know, before all this happened.
Yeah, with some rest.
Yeah, so, yeah, I would, if I was the Lakers, I'd absolutely want Memphis first, and not because Memphis isn't a better team, but because, like, I'd rather see Ja Morant as the rookie in the playoffs than see Dame, CJ, Melo, like, guys with playoff experience who are, like, legitimate bucket getters in this league in a short playoff series. Like, now, if we're talking our regular playoffs, like, the Lakers wouldn't be worried about the Blazers at all. That's a five-game, six-game,
right.
You know, five-game, really, max series. But in a short 2 to 3 game series, like, I'd definitely rather see the Grizzlies.
Yeah, so just, you know, regarding him not wanting to go down, I totally get that, right? I mean, not only is there going to be some risk, you know, with the coronavirus and everything going on, there's also some injury risk, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he doesn't want to go play seven. I mean, if the Blazers were eliminated and had no chance of making the playoffs and there was 8 games left, and this was a regular NBA season, I'm not sure if we'd see him in those games.
Right.
So it definitely makes sense for him to possibly not go down there and play for no reason. I don't think that that's what's going to happen here. You know, and we're going to talk about all of these scenarios. But to talk about, do I think the Blazers would have a chance? I don't think that they would be in my, you know, top 10 teams I would pick to win the championship. Depending on the format that they choose, it's important because, like you said, they have two bucket-getting guards. And, you know, depending on the format, one of the ways you can kind of look at it is almost like an NCAA tournament, mm-hmm. right? And for me personally, when I'm doing my bracket, you know, before March Madness, you know, I don't always have a ton of success, but one of the things I like to do, and I think it works a lot, is who has experienced really good guards.
Yes.
In one game playoff type, I think that matters a lot.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, they certainly have a chance, and Nurkic is going to be coming back. Collins is going to be coming back, and that's something that Dame talked about in his interview with Chris Haynes. Is, you know, they worked all season waiting for these guys to get back. They put themselves in a position where at least they had a chance, if those guys came back, that they'd be able to make the playoffs, and they think they'd match up well. Certainly can't blame him for his confidence.
No, not at all.
And I think he's earned that in his playoff success. Yeah. You know, obviously, when they play overmatched teams, it's tough. But
to piggyback on your point, in an NCAA tournament style, like you said, you pick your bracket on like killer experienced guards. CJ McCollum knocked off Duke in an NCAA tournament style game. Like, he has experience getting big buckets in big games like that. So your point is very strong there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't think that that's how it's going to play out. I think that he'll actually be pleased with what the NBA does, I think. So let's just kind of go into this now. The NBA is kind of debating how they want to come back. It looks like they're going to come back. It looks like we're pretty sure that they're going to be back. It just depends on the format they come back. So Friday night, I believe late Friday night, the NBA sent out surveys to all the GMs, and they basically asked them, okay, it looks like we're coming back. How do you guys want to do this? And I'm not sure that the GMs are going to be the end-all be-all here, because you've got to negotiate with not only the players and Disney World, because it looks like it's going to be in Orlando, but you've also got to negotiate with the TV networks. So there's a lot of moving pieces here. The GMs maybe are a good baseline to see what works the best. Mm-hmm. But kind of the four options laid out were, one is you kind of just jump back right back to where you were, and you go back into the playoffs like it's normal. So East, West, 1 through 8, you just play the playoffs. It sounds like they still want to do 7-game series. Despite the coronavirus and the bubble situation, it sounds like they want to make it as legit as possible. So that's an option. Another option is similar. You just go straight to the playoffs. Maybe they play, you know, and this goes for the first option too. Maybe they play 5, 8, 10 more regular season games just for the purpose of they want to get, because it's really important that they get to 70 games with these teams, because they have these regional TV network contracts, and if they don't get to 70 games, then they're liable for those. So they really want to get to 70 games. So maybe they play a couple before they do. But the second option would be you go back to the regular playoffs, 1 through 8, two sides of a bracket, but there's no conferences. The third option would be kind of a playoffs plus. So maybe it's regular playoffs, with or without conferences, but you have a play-in tournament for the 7 and 8 seeds, maybe even the 6 seed, kind of like what Dame was hoping for here, mm-hmm. where teams that are close have at least a chance to make it. Because, you know, in reality, it's not really entirely fair to Portland and New Orleans and Sacramento and even San Antonio, who they would have at least had a chance. Now, you could argue that it's not fair to Memphis or Dallas or Orlando or Brooklyn, who were in the 7 and 8 seeds. But even Mark Cuban came out in support of this type of an idea, and the Mavericks are in the 7 seed. So that's interesting that he would come out and say that.
Right.
And then the fourth option, and I got to be honest, this is the option that I'm really liking, is kind of a group stage. So it sounds like how it would probably work, similar to this, would be there'd be 4 groups of 5. So you take the top 20 teams, regardless of conference. So it would basically be the 16 playoff teams now, plus Portland, Pelicans, Kings, Spurs. You'd put them into 4 groups of 5. You play each team in your group twice, so you'd play 8 games. And then if you played 8 games, that would get they would get 2/3 of the league anyway to their 70-game regional TV mark. So that's big for them. And then after you play each team twice in your group, this is kind of like a World Cup or Champions League, something that we're familiar with, of course, Eli. And then the top 2 from each group move on to what would be the kind of the second round of the playoffs, and then you might reseed them based on regular season record from there, and then you'd do 7-game series like a normal playoffs.
Right.
So those are pretty much the 4 options. Go ahead. What would be your choice out of those?
So I'm going to rank these, and I'm going to start from the bottom and go up because I have something to say about each of these formats. So I think the most unfair, and I think the last thing that I would want to see is them hop right into regular playoffs. The reason for that is I do think Portland, you know, New Orleans, Sacramento, those teams, those 3 specifically, I can't really say much for the Eastern Conference 9 through 12 seeds, but the Western Conference 9 through 19, yeah, and even the Spurs, so 9 through 12 seeds, really had a chance to make the playoffs. Like, who knows what could have happened? There was plenty of games. There were 65, so about 15 to 17 games, depending on how many teams each had played, to make up a 3 or 4 game difference. That's enough, you know. So I would feel really bad to see those 4 teams not even get a shot. So yeah. I think the regular playoffs, I think that would be the worst decision. I think that would probably upset those 4 teams and even some of the Eastern Conference teams. I had that last. Third, I had the group stage. And the only reason I have this, although I think the group stage would be the most exciting, like that would be by far the most exciting, because if you look at the World Cup, like the best team almost never wins the World Cup. Right? Like, there's a... Well, I shouldn't say almost never, but a lot of times the best team in the tournament does not win the World
Cup. It's true.
Or doesn't even get to the final. And, you know, that's not great, but like, watching Giants fall is fun to a lot of people. It just is. So, like, and you have to bring your absolute best every individual game, because, especially in that group stage, because they were talking about, like, you only get 2 games against each of those 3 teams. So, like, you slip up, you know what I mean? It could get kind of tricky there. So, you know, you could see some Giants fall. You could see some teams that probably would have made the playoffs fall out of that kind of a format. But the reason I had it third is because legacies are at stake here. You know, it's almost bigger than basketball at this point. Like, LeBron is chasing ring number 4, you know what I mean, in his career, and it would be his third. Like, with his third with a third different franchise. Like, he's chasing GOAT status if you don't already think that he's there. You know what I mean? And looking to cement his legacy. Giannis, Kawhi, guys like that are trying to, you know, get their rings and things like that. There's a number of different teams that are that have, like, star players trying to build legacies. And I think, like, if you do a group stage format, people are going to discount. That's where you get asterisks and things like that that come in, and people are like, oh, well, he won it, but they played like a weird playoff format, things right. like that. So that's why I had that. That's the only reason I had that third, although it would be the most exciting to watch. Second, I had playoffs with no conferences where they come back and they reseed it, you know, however many seeds they go if they do the 1 through 16 with no conferences. I had that second, and that one is the most experimental of the four, right? Because the NBA had actually discussed this, and it's been brought up, like, for the last few years, right? Because people believe that the East is, like, far weaker than the West, and if they reseeded it 1 through 16, we could truly see the two best teams in the finals, which sounds great, but, like, logistically never really made sense. But now, logistically, it does, because you're probably playing.
This is your chance.
Right, this is your chance to test that, you know, at one or two sites and see how fans actually react to it, because you don't have to worry about the logistics at this point. So I had that second because that's like, that would be really great for the NBA to get like a chance to experiment with this. And I don't think it really impacts legacies that much, because like at the end of the day, the two best teams are going to end up in the finals regardless, because it's reseeded 1 through 16, you know. Well, so it is what it is at that point. I don't think real people can really put an asterisk by a format like that. And then the number one, and what it leaves with, is like that playoffs plus format. I think it's the most fair, because you give those teams that were on the bubble or at least had a chance, you know, the opportunity to play their way in. Because they didn't get those 16 to 17 games to do it in the regular season. All right, we're going to give you an opportunity. Go beat, you know, go compete against those teams that you could have possibly bumped out. Earn your right to be in there, and then we can, boom, go into our, you know, regular playoff, our, you know, regular playoff format from there. No legacies would be impacted by that. You don't have to worry about the teams that were on the bubble being upset. Even the teams that are in, like the 7th and 8th seeds, you know, if you truly believe that you should be in, go win those games. You know what I mean? Go prove it. This is your opportunity. So I think that would be the most fair way, in order to keep the balance, keep everyone happy, keep, you know, any asterisks from being put on titles by fans and things like that.
Right.
But they have a lot of good options. They really could experiment with some different things, and it's going to be exciting to watch nonetheless. Me personally, I almost, like, at this point, even if they just went into regular playoffs, I'd be okay, because I just want basketball back. Like,
right, I would take it. So with the playoffs plus option, that's your favorite option. Would you do keep it East West and have Brooklyn versus Charlotte, Orlando versus Washington, and then Dallas versus Pelicans, Grizzly versus Blazers? Or would you scrap the conferences and then, because then if you do it that way, then all of the wild card teams, so to speak, would be these four Western teams: Portland, New Orleans, Sacramento, and San Antonio.
I would still keep the conferences, because at the end of the day, those were the teams that you were competing with to get into the playoffs. You know, so I would still keep the conferences in that case.
Yeah. So I like the idea of rearranging the conferences. I think that it does make sense. Like, the West has been better, really, it's really been like 25 years, mm-hmm. right? Like, this has been a reoccurring thing this entire century, is the West has a better, I don't know if it's the owners, I don't know what it is. They just seem to have better teams year in and year out. The problem is, even if they do it this year, they're not going to do it going forward, because they would need 20 owners to approve this, right? Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine any owners in the East are going to approve this, because they could probably be shortchanging themselves of playoff teams. Maybe they would, just for competitive balance. I don't really see the need for the conferences, right, with travel, especially if we're doing this quarantine bubble thing. You definitely don't need it. But honestly, the entire, like division, even divisions in basketball, like, why are there still divisions? Like, does anybody look at the division standings? Do teams put banners up for division championships? They do, but they probably shouldn't, right? So I think that makes sense in the short term, just for this year, could make it more fun. And I agree with the playoffs plus. I really like that idea. If you guys have been listening to us since our first episode, that's something I brought up on our first episode, maybe doing a play-in for the 7 and 8 seeds. I'm glad that it seems Adam Silver is listening to our podcast. He must have heard. So I love that idea. I think it makes sense. I don't know. It's tough to reconcile. The only thing is, it is tough to reconcile having Charlotte and Washington in there instead of Sacramento and San Antonio. I mean, it's a couple game difference, and they're both 15 to 20 games under 500, or not 15 to 20, I'm sorry, 10 to 15 games under 500. So, you know, whatever, maybe they can gripe about it. I like the group stage. I think it's the most fun, like you said.
Yeah.
And here's the kind of, I think, how it would work. So there'd be five tiers, right? Or four tiers. Four groups, five tiers. All 20 teams that we mentioned here would make it. So you'd have kind of the playoff plus thing. So there's a couple different ways you could do it. Probably what you would do is the Bucks, Lakers, Raptors, and Clippers would be in four different groups, right? Because they're the top four teams. And then you could either do like a lottery based on to get the other teams in the group, you know, but you still have one team from tier one, one team from tier two, and tier two would be then the next four teams, which is Nuggets, Celtics, Heat, Jazz. Then you have tier three, which is Sixers, Rockets, Thunder, Pacers. Tier four would be Grizzlies, Magic, Mavericks, Nets. And then tier five would be those last four, the Blazers, Pelicans, Spurs, Kings. So every group would have one of those teams. And then you'd play each one twice. But then when you get to the second round, and then probably what would happen is there'd be some, you're right, like stuff would get messed up, right? So the Lakers might lose. So this is just like a hypothetical group. But let's say a group is Lakers, Jazz, Sixers, Magic, Pelicans. Okay, that could be a potential group here. So first of all, let me just say, like, I would much rather, in the first round of the playoffs, would you rather watch the Lakers play the Jazz twice, the Sixers twice, the Grizzlies twice, and the Pelicans twice? Or would you rather watch the Lakers beat the Grizzlies in four games?
Yeah.
I think just from a fan interest perspective, I would take that.
Absolutely.
And not to, like the ratings would be off the chain for this, right? Like, this would be insane. You look at how the other sports that are coming back are doing ratings-wise. I think that this would blow them out of the water. So I think the big concern with this maybe is if you get like, and this is a soccer term that me and you know well, like a group of death, right?
Yeah.
So you think about, I think Portugal was in a group of death in the maybe the World Cup, and it was like, well, this isn't really fair because they got a stacked deck. So like, I'm trying to imagine like what a group of death would look like. It would probably be like if you had Raptors, Celtics, Rockets, Mavericks, Pelicans. Because that could potentially be one group in this, right?
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, only two of those teams are going to go through. I don't know. So, yeah, that's a legitimate concern. So what if we did this, right? What if we scrapped the lottery thing to separate the tiers? Now how much fun would this be? You've got the Bucks, the Lakers, the Raptors, the Clippers. Okay, in that order, because that's how they finished in regular season standings. You've got Adam Silver, we're on live TV, ESPN, TNT, and Bucks are on the clock. You pick which team you want to be in your group. Then the Lakers, you pick which team you want to be in your group. And you do it that way. And so if these teams are hand-picking, so first of all, that would draw crazy numbers, TV ratings-wise, right? And it would be an added in, like, oh, you called us out, right? Like, I'm the Lakers and the Rockets and the Lakers called us out, right? They want to play us. It's like, I just think that would be huge for fan interest.
I think it would balance the groups.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way to like avoid a group of death.
Yeah, because even the Blazers, like, I think if you looked at these four tiers that I named, like, the top tier is, they're all really good. The Raptors are probably the worst, right? Because they don't have the superstar that the other guys have. But then, the second tier is Jazz, Heat, Celtics, Nuggets. They're probably all pretty close.
Right.
But then, like, the fourth tier, you have Grizzlies, Magic, Mavericks, Nets. I think that the Mavericks are the team you don't want to get from that tier, right. Probably, right?
Yeah.
And then the fifth tier, which is Blazers, Pelicans, Spurs, Kings, you probably don't want the Blazers because what we talked about earlier with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum.
Right.
So if you can do it that way, I think that helps balance it. You know, and if you look at some of the stuff, I think the best teams, the Bucks and the Lakers and the Clippers, I think that they're pretty much, they're going to have a hard time not getting out of this group stage.
Yeah.
It would take something kind of catastrophic for them not to. Because even if they tied, like if the Clippers are in the same group as the Nuggets and the Pacers, and the Clippers finish with a record of, what did I say, it would be 8 games. So if the Clippers finish with a record of 4-4, the Nuggets are 5-3, and the Pacers are 4-4, well, the Clippers would get the tiebreaker because they had a better regular season record. So we don't want to diminish that, right?
Yeah.
So then after the group stage, we'd have 2 teams from each tier, so we'd have 8 teams left. We'd seed them by regular season record, and then we would just go into seven game playoff series. And I know you're right, though, about the legacy thing. That's definitely the biggest concern. Because if something does happen catastrophic, then we have a really big conversation on our hands.
Yeah.
And even if, but like, I don't know if, you know, and I kind of think that the only way that we're going to look at this and say, well, there's an asterisk, is if LeBron wins. I don't know. Like, I think if Giannis gets his first, we're going to be fine with it. But like, yeah. It's essentially like these guys getting out of the first round, right? And that's usually a cakewalk anyway.
Right.
So if they do this, and then these teams get out of the first round, for us to be like, for people to say, well, there's an asterisk because the first round was group stage, not a true series. Well, first of all, this group stage was harder than their first round series would be, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think that they would probably, the Bucks, if you ask them, they would probably just, you know, kick the Magic's ass for 4 games in a row and be done with it.
Right.
So I think it's tougher. But then, yeah, you still go into the second round and you have to play a 7-game series. Then you've got the Eastern Conference Finals, a 7-game series, and then the Finals, which would be a 7-game series. So I would hope that it wouldn't be an asterisk season. But you're right, that there definitely is potential for that.
Right. Yeah, and you know how fans get, because they can be, you know what I mean? Like, especially when you're talking about, like you said, like LeBron... Like, especially if he wins it, right? Like, MJ fans are going to say, oh, well, they did the group stage format for his fourth. You know what I mean? They already come up with asterisks for his first 2 rings, right? And kind of even the third with the Draymond suspension. So, like, people find a way to poke holes in your rings regardless. But, like, I think with the group stage, like, especially, mostly if LeBron wins, like, I think I'd be more... I would have said do the group stage if LeBron wasn't in the league, right? And it was just like if it was just like Giannis and Kawhi, you know right. what I mean? Like we're the two top guys in this year's postseason, and you didn't really have to worry about anybody's like GOAT status at this point. I would say heck yeah, like do the group stage. Like we don't have to really protect anyone's legacy, but like you know what I mean? Like LeBron's legacy. Not that I like really care about protecting it because I'm like. Not a LeBron super fan, but like I think it would be unfair at the end of his career to look back and see so many people try to discount that ring if he got it and they did it that way. You know, it's just unfortunately like you know, blind fan NBA, you know, NBA fans would just run away with that and it would just be so annoying.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like I don't see how you can. It's like they're almost begging for it, right? Like they're hoping that he wins this title just so they can put an asterisk on it. And then that will be the new topic of debate, right? It won't be, well, he joined the Heat and whatever else. Like now it's like, well, he had a different type of season. I'm not sure if this quarantine type situation really benefits LeBron there, right? I would say that. Probably the Clippers are more benefited from a lockout, or not a lockout, I'm sorry, a quarantine break and then bubble scenario because of the health concerns they've had. It sounds weird saying out loud, but, you know, Kawhi and Paul George have had more injury history than 35-year-old LeBron James. So I think that the Clippers benefit more. The team that is going to be the most pissed about all of this, right? And the only way that this team is not pissed is if they go straight to the regular playoffs like normal is the Bucks. Right. Because the Bucks are going to go from easy win with the Magic, four-game sweep, whatever, and then you go through the East, which is not that hard of a road. Now, if they do the reseeding, they're on the same side of the bracket as the Clippers. If they do the group stage, you don't know what's going to happen. So they're the team, I think, that stands to lose the most if the NBA gets experimental.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. I think the Bucks also, because when you think about it, like lockout seasons or even like this, like the coronavirus thing, what kind of teams do those always benefit? The younger teams. So, like, the Lakers kind of have an older roster where, like, maybe they didn't get the rest that the Clippers got, but, like, they're going to get some rust out of this because they have, like, they have older players that, you know, who knows how many games they're going to get to try to get their flow back. Right. The Bucks are kind of like a youngish kind of team. Like, they're not super young, but they're not as old as I would say even the Clippers are. And you can fact check me on that, but, like, their core is mostly under 30. So, you know, I think they kind of stand to benefit from that perspective, but the seedings, like you said, or how they format this, I should say, is where things can get crazy for the Bucks, because like you said, they would have went from the Magic in the first round, probably Miami in the second round, which would have been a tough series, but a winnable one for them. They probably wouldn't have seen any like friction until conference finals, where they get Toronto or Boston, or you know, like some Sixers fans might say that their team is built that the team is built for the playoffs. They might get the Sixers in the conference finals, which is as a Sixer fan, that's unrealistic to me. But you know, that it could happen. You know, who knows what's going to happen coming out of this. Because they are a defensive team. We don't know how rusty guys are going to be. It's going to be interesting, man. There's so many different ways that they can go with this. The group stage excites me the most, though. I can't even... I can't stress that enough, because, like, how crazy would that be? Even if there was a group of death, like, the group of death might be unfair, but it's absolutely the best thing in the world to watch.
Oh, it'd be more fun if it was, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like... And usually, like, the Lakers or the Bucks wouldn't be, or even the Clippers, like, those wouldn't be the teams that end up with a group of death. It'd be like the, right. Like you said, it'd be the Raptors or the Celtics. So, like, you don't even have to worry about, like, you know, LeBron getting knocked out surprisingly, or Giannis, like, your main stars getting knocked out of a group of death, because it's unlikely that they'd fall into a situation like that. But, like, I don't think people would mind, no offense, Mike, but, like, the Raptors or Boston somehow falling out of a group of death, because, like, you're losing, like, Pascal Siakam and
offense Jason taken. At that point.
But, yeah, it's just how it is, you know what I mean? Like, that, from a fan standpoint, like, majority of fans would be mostly okay with that. But that would absolutely be the most exciting. And then I'd even really like to see the playoff plus too, because I think like you get to play in games and like short series. I'd love to see more short series in the NBA. Like, I think that would be a lot more exciting, simply like to give that thrill of upsets. Like, you don't really get upsets in the NBA playoffs anymore, you know, cause like in a 7-game series to beat someone 4 times is hard. Like, you practically have to be the better team in that case. We haven't really seen a true, like, playoff upset since what, like, when...
the We Believe Warriors, really.
We Believe Warriors, yeah. And then didn't the Spurs lose as a number one seed, or came close, or as a one seed or second seed? I can't remember it in one season. They might have been the other, like, closest that we've seen to an upset.
Yeah.
Which was, like, shortly after the We Believe Warriors. But, yeah, we haven't seen, like, a true upset in the playoffs since... Without any injuries, since the We Believe Warriors, it's been, you know, the better team has won, and like that's the fairest thing, but it's not always the most fun. Like, I love to see Duke lose in the first round of the NCAA tournament. You know, as a
right, and I do too, and it is more fun, but for me anyway, like, I actually like that the NBA does the longer series, because I like when the better team, like, I like when I look at a series and the team wins and I'm like, yeah, like, they should have won. They were a better team. Like, the thing about March Madness is every year we kind of, I kind of go through this interpersonal struggle, right? So just to open the window into my mind watching March Madness. It's the first, second round, and I see all these upsets, right? I'm like, this is awesome. Like, this is so cool. Like, these big-time teams are losing, right? And then we get to the Elite Eight and the Final Four, and it's, I don't know, fucking Liberty versus Chicago State. And I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, this is not what I want to see when I want to see the best teams. I want to see these guys competing for a championship. I don't want to see these Cinderellas anymore. It was cool in the first round, but I was hoping it would end before it gets down to when it really matters. So even if we had – so I kind of agree with you there too. Like, even if the first round was a 3- or 5-game series – and you had some upsets, I wouldn't want to see the Lakers or the Bucks or one of these top teams lose. So I think really the only way that you could do this is if maybe you go to a 12 team or something like that, and two teams have a bye, something like that, and then you have 3-game playoffs. Then I'm fine with seeing an upset, right? But I don't want to see the upset when the best team in the league loses in a 3-game series. Because then it's kind of like, well, they just played 82 games. Like, what was that for?
Yeah, true. Yeah, I like the NBA's playoff format too. Like, don't get me wrong. And like, I'd much rather prefer to see like the best teams win at the end of the year. But like, when you get with the NBA getting this opportunity to experiment, I wouldn't mind. You know what I mean? Seeing some upsets and you know, something like that. And then you could like kind of, like you said, like do maybe 1 through 12. And, you know, do your 1 or 3-game series in the first couple of rounds, and then make it like 5 or 7 going forward, you know, like at that point. That way you still get upsets and like balance later on in the postseason with your best teams maybe getting byes as well. So like, that would be cool. I think that would be cool too. So
yeah, well, that's what the NHL is doing. The NHL is coming back, and they're going with 24 teams, and they're straight to the playoffs, but it's 24 teams, so they're doing like a mini round robin for some of the teams that didn't get a bye, which I think could make sense here. Because, you know, and I don't see any way that the NBA brings back all of the teams, right? Like, there's no way that the Cavs, Hawks, Trae Young fans, Pistons, Warriors, T-Wolves, Suns. Like, I think that those six are out for sure, right? Yeah. Even, you know, and Pistons, Knicks, Bulls, Hornets, Wizards, like, I'm sorry, Wizards, you're the 9 seed. I'm sorry. You just can't come to this party. Like, you're 23 and 42. Like, I don't think that they should really have any legitimate concerns or complaints, I should say. Now, that's the thing about some of these experiments compared to the group stage, right? Because when you do the playoffs plus, or if you do the no conferences, those are repeatable, right? Like, you could say, well, if this works this year, we'll keep going with this every year. You can't really replicate the group stage for the first round in a normal year of the playoffs, because it would just be too much travel, it's too many games, it just doesn't really work. The only way that it could work, the only way they could even use it going forward, would be if the NBA finds a way to do something that Silver has talked about, which is that mid-season tournament, right? Which would be awesome, which I think everyone is, every fan of the NBA is on board for. And then maybe even if you have it for that, it's only 10 teams, and you know, the top six make it past and two get a bye. Maybe that's what you do. I don't know. But that's the only way you could really incorporate that. So I think if you're looking from it like, well, let's experiment, and maybe if it works, we're going to use it going forward. I think that is probably the biggest detractor to the group stage idea, as well as what you mentioned with the legacy questions, because I think that really matters too. But the other stuff, like if the playoff plus works, if you could do the plan for the 7 and 8, I think it should be an idea going forward.
Yeah. Agreed. And I agree, like, you know, even though the NBA gets to experiment in this time, it's kind of like you have to be smart with what you do experiment with, because, like, not everything that you try out here can be done because of, you know, logistics. Like, even the playoffs with no conferences, you know, unless you were going to do all these playoffs at neutral sites, that's like the only way that, and no owner's doing that. So, you know what I mean? Because that's right. Playoff revenue for those home games. Sure. So, like, you know what I mean? It's just, how can you really translate that into a regular NBA season? You know, so it's certainly the most practical is the playoff plus, because that's something you can try to do going forward. But I think the group stage is the most practical if you're talking about like a possible midseason tournament, like they've been discussing. And I think there's like some NBA fans who have written that off too quickly, in my opinion. Like, the Champions League is super exciting to watch because, and there's multiple reasons why, like, a midseason tournament with like a group stage format would be beneficial for the NBA. One, you know, you're probably talking about reducing the regular season, right? Which gives you, and then you're finding like ways to rest guys. Well, those group stage games that you think you're probably going to win, you could probably rest, you know, LeBron against, you know, let's say he has Orlando in his group, or even somebody worse, like, depending on how many teams are in the midseason tournament. You know, like, if he gets an early, if they get like Cleveland or something like that in their games, you can rest LeBron and still pull out those wins, kind of like they do in soccer. Like, when, you know, when Barcelona, you know, is playing a team that they have a pretty good chance or a good chance of beating, or if it's a meaningless game, they already secured the group, they'll sit Messi. You know what I mean? Like, that's your opportunity to give guys rest without like hurting ratings or dramatically hurting ratings, you know, with nationally televised games and things like that. I also think like it would allow teams to maybe expand rosters and go deeper and kind of give like G League guys some NBA experience. You know what I mean? Like, say your G League affiliate has some players who are playing well, you know, and you want to rest some of your big time guys. Well, now you open up some opportunities for those guys to come up, play against actual NBA teams and play in actual NBA games that don't impact your, you know, playoffs. You know, and see what they look like in that environment. And, you know, maybe if, you know, who knows where this G League development thing is going to go. I know they're not, like, on an actual team. But, like, imagine if those guys did actually go to, like, G League affiliates, right, and actually played in the G League.
Yeah.
So then you can pull these guys up into the midseason tournament, and you're like, oh, you know, say Jalen Green was on the Santa Cruz Warriors, right? And the Warriors wanted to pull him up for a group stage game when they rest, you know Steph or Clay or something like that. You know, that, like, how exciting would that be? People get a chance to see Jalen Green maybe play against somebody.
That's
like,
really good. That's really interesting. Yeah,
those are possibilities and doors that you open up by, you know, by with a midseason tournament. And I think it's inevitable the way that players are kind of taking power back. It's inevitable that the regular season in some way is going to change because they're sitting out too many nationally televised games. You know what I mean? There's this big like struggle between, you know, the NBA and players resting. They're trying to get players to play on the floor. Players are trying to protect themselves. The midseason tournament's actually the best way to do that, where the NBA can still get games and ratings, things like that, while teams get the opportunity to rest their players.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that's basically, you know, the players are looking for ways to load manage and games to take off. Well, these are the games, right? And it's expected, too. Like, just what you mentioned, like, with Barcelona and the Champions League, like, they've got a game coming up, but they've already clinched their group, or it's a meaningless game in the Champions League. Well, fans going to that game, they know Messi's not going to play, right? He's tuned into the game, you know he's not going to play. So I think that helps with them, too. And then I think, one, it's a good idea to shorten the regular season probably down to, like, 70 games, and then maybe these games make up the difference in the revenue for these guys. Probably makes it up plus some more. And then if you do the playoffs plus going forward, you know, when you have the 9 and 10 playing in, and if you really want to get crazy, you could even go down to 11. That might be a little bit extreme. But that helps with the tanking problem as well, right? When you don't have to make the 8 seed to make the playoffs, and you can be the 11 seed and still have a chance to make it. Because even if you look at it and you say, well, we'll be the 11 seed, but even if we win that game, we're still going to get our ass kicked in the playoffs. Well, you still take that, right? Because you still get two home games in the actual playoffs, plus you know, extra TV money that goes along with that too. So I think that helps maybe decrease the tanking problem as well, hopefully. So I think that it's something, both things should almost go hand in hand with the NBA moving forward. I think that they should look at them more like a tandem thing, like how can both of these things benefit us, like in conjuncture, where we can take stuff, like decrease the games in the regular season while making those games up with a midseason tournament, while decreasing tanking, while also fighting our load management problem. It's got real potential, right, to be a huge success. And like we said before, this is the year to experiment, right? So they're probably going to use this to start their season on Christmas Day. Like we had mentioned before, that's probably the plan moving forward after this. I think the dates given out were that this is going to all start happening, and then the plan is to have it over by like middle of September, and then you have the draft and free agency at the end of September into the beginning of October, and then probably you start the next season on Christmas Day.
It'll be so exciting.
It'll be so exciting, right? Like, yeah. Now the problem is, and they had mentioned that the last day of the finals would be September 20th, which is a Sunday. So I'd be wondering how they would want to make that work with maybe possibly fighting with football. I don't know how they'd go about that. That'd be a decision for them to make. I'm not sure that makes sense. I would probably go with because if you're in Orlando, you're going to be Eastern time. So the game will be starting at 8, maybe, I guess, 9 o'clock. So you get the West Coast, everybody, because 9 would be 6 on the West Coast, so you get everybody watching it over there too. So even if you started at 9, but college football championship is always on a Monday night, right? So I don't think it really matters that much what day of the week it's on. So I would think that they would try to make that work.
And I think, like, I'd probably try to shoot for a Friday.
Yeah.
Because then you're still looking at weekend, you know what I mean? So kind of a weekend day plus – you're not really conflicting with college or pro football. I think that might be not any major college football games, at least. That's what I would say if I was the NBA. I think going into like early fall, because like obviously that's when like football's at its highest like interest point. Especially with it being in doubt that there might even be a delay to the season or whatever. So in September, like, people are going to be all about their football. So I'd try to avoid them as much as possible if they can. But, like, at the end of the day, it's like any weekday really would work, I would say, especially when you're talking about the finals.
That would be an interesting, showdown type. I wouldn't do it personally, just from a making money perspective. I wouldn't risk it. But just to kind of gauge where you're at as a league, right, because we know that when baseball goes up against, like, when they have the World Series at the same time as a Thursday night NFL game, the Thursday night NFL game trumps the World Series, like, not even close. Which is crazy, but, people, hey, man, this is America. We want to watch football.
Yeah.
So, if you're the NBA, maybe you say, well, let me just gauge where we're at. Can our NBA finals compete with a Sunday night regular season game? I wouldn't do it, though. I wouldn't risk it.
Football has too much of a cult following to really even want it. Like, they literally own a day of the week in Sundays. And then even, like, Thursday, now they're kind of even Thursdays. Even the Thursday night games are awful. Like, even trying to compete with those ratings, though, would be difficult.
Yeah,
just because it's just, like, So, yeah, they have a lot of possibilities here, man, to see how different formats will pan out. I'm excited. Adam Silver pretty much gets everything right, and I'm sure he will this time too. So I'm excited to see what he decides out of this, or like what the NBA as a league decides out of this, because we could see a very exciting postseason this year, depending on what these GMs voted for, or what the league is with the league owners and Adam Silver are thinking.
All right, so let's do this is the last thing we're going to do today. And I did not prepare Eli for this, and I did that on purpose. So what we're going to do, this would be first round matchups if they said forget the conferences, okay? So no explanations, okay. Just say team in this many games, okay?
Bet. Got it.
Bucks Magic.
And we're doing seven game series?
Seven game series. Yep, sorry.
Bucks in four.
Lakers, Nets.
Lakers in four.
And we're assuming no Kyrie or KD there. Really.
Assuming no Kyrie or KD, right.
Raptors, Grizzly.
Raptors in five.
Oh, I like that one. Clippers, Mavericks. That's a good one.
Clippers in six.
That's a good series. That's a good... Okay. Celtics, Sixers. Oh, boy.
Which was actually a possible first-round series anyway.
Yeah, but I think it would have been.
Celtics, Sixers... I'm going to go Sixers. We did a good job against the Celtics in the regular season. I think we match up well with them.
Okay.
It's one of the few teams in the East that I think we match up well with.
In the league. Really. I think so, too. And I agree with you on all these, of course. I actually agree with that one, too. The Sixers, because...
I'd say in six, too, by the way.
If...
In six.
I don't know. I think they put Ben Simmons on Tatum, right?
Yep.
And I think that's tough. But that's if that's your best scorer for the Celtics, if he's the guy... I think Ben Simmons would do a good job. So, and I'm not sure that the Celtics don't have anybody to match up with Embiid. Like, that's their biggest.
No.
That's their biggest flaw, right?
That's why I
would
take them.
Mm-hmm. Their big guys suck, especially defensively. I mean, Tice, if he's your best, if he's your best big guy.
Yeah, he's getting cooked down there.
Okay, so then Nuggets, Pacers.
Nuggets in six. Pacers put up fights.
Yeah. Jazz, Rockets.
This one's interesting because, well, no explanation. Jazz in seven.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. Fuck the Rockets. That's like the one. That's like the one team. Like, I don't care if anybody else wins it. I just don't want to see the Rockets win in the weird format. Like, I can't stand watching them. But anyway, so last one, and this is probably of all the ones we named. So Boston and Sixers is obviously a huge one. And yeah. I think that Jazz Rockets, and they have some history, so that'll be interesting too. But Miami Thunder, two kind of throwback teams in the way they play.
Yeah.
I think that'll be a really good series.
And two teams that like are strength in numbers kind of teams, right? Yeah. Like they're not like best player in the league led. Like they're really good because they have 9 to 10 guys who can hoop.
Yeah.
I would go with the Heat because I do think they end up having more playoff experience. And they have the best. They have the best player in that series, I think, in Jimmy Butler, and probably the second best too. And well, no, Chris Paul's the second best. But like when you're talking about second star, like if you're talking about Bam, I'd take Bam over Shea.
Yeah.
In this. So like I'd take the Heat in seven for sure. Set definitely seven because Chris Paul and the boys ain't going out.
They'll put up a fight
seven,
for sure.
Seven games. Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, so we agree on all of those first-round matchups. I don't know about the games. I haven't really thought about the games. But, so when we do our first-round picks, we'll see if anything changes.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, man, well, that's all we had for today. Definitely getting excited, though, man.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait to have basketball back, man. Just, listen, whatever NBA, whatever you decide, we on board, man. Bring basketball back.
Do whatever you have to do to give it to us. So this was a fun episode for sure. This we're going to come back. We're going to do another episode on Sunday night, as always, having these on Mondays and Thursdays for you guys. Like, rate, subscribe, everything that you can do to help us, retweet. We appreciate it a lot. Anything else, Eli?
Yeah, thank you guys again for all your support. It's actually motivated us to really make some major moves that we're going to be announcing soon. I know we said that in like the last few podcasts, but like things are really coming together now. Yeah. So I would say probably like within the next few days, you'll start hearing some announcements from us, probably on social media, probably in the next episode of some big things we're working on, man. We're looking to take things to the next level. And it's all because of you guys' support, so thank you so much.
Yep, absolutely, man. We're looking forward to that. We definitely got some things in the work. We're already we're starting to partner with some other people, and we want to get things moving. So stay tuned for that. Besides that, guys, we appreciate you listening. This is the All In Podcast. Thanks.
See you guys.